Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Melissa, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you so much. This is exciting.
I was wondering, how did you first find Organize 365?
Well, the year 2015, I lost my dad to cancer. And I think part of my grieving process was trying to find some control in my life. And that led to all things organization, which is kind of a natural, I'm a natural organizer, planner, detail-oriented person. And I felt really out of control during that time. Mm-hmm. So it was podcast after podcast, productivity, organization, all the things. And you popped up during one of my searches. And I remember being on the lawnmower, mowing my grass, and your words. And I just thought, yep, this is it. This is what I need. It was the mindset that really hooked me, the mindset shift.
Well, I'm sorry about the passing of your father.
Yes, it was a hard battle. But
Yeah. It's not easy. And do you have any siblings?
I don't. I'm an only child.
Yeah. Everybody processes it differently and in different ways. And so then you have that as well and family and it's just not an easy season to get through. It's not. Built 7 vegetable gardens.
Well, I cleaned out every box in my house.
Yes. When my parents got divorced, I totally tore out my pantry and rebuilt it and sledgehammered off a window ledge and put in one that would hold a Yankee candle. Did not block the drafty winter from coming in, but I could put a candle up there. And I remember with both of those experiences, exactly what you said, trying to figure out how do I get control over something I do not have control over. And my husband, in both situations, just watching sports and just sitting there, I've got a sledgehammer out in our kitchen. It's February. Yeah. And he's just like, all righty then. And every time he turns around, I'm back to Home Depot. I'm back. I'm measuring. I didn't have it right. And he just let me go. Yeah. Let me go. You built 7 above ground vegetable gardens. And then, the next year you take all those out because you realize you just built those because you needed something to do, not because you really wanted to grow all the vegetables.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's definitely a physical way of processing through what is mentally and emotionally happening that you don't have an outlet for.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And during all of that, it sparked great changes in our life. My husband woke up one morning and said, I'm going to quit my job today.
Jeez.
And we're going to flip a house and this is what we're going to do now. And so I said, okay, that's what we're going to do now. So we started a company and led to another company. And I took on all the bookkeeping, which I've never done. So then I really felt out of control.
When you look back on your life story, often you could see a thread that goes all the way through that you never observed as it was happening, but also how many experiences we have. It's not just graduated from college, did this one thing, did this other thing, and was done. Our lives are so multifaceted and so dynamic.
Yes.
Not easily put in a box.
No.
So who are the family members that live with you in your house? You mentioned a husband.
I have a husband, Brian, and I have a 9-year-old daughter, Alice, who is turned into a major Lisa fangirl, by the way.
Hi, Alice.
Oh my gosh, that will make her day. Oh my goodness. And then we have 2 dogs.
What kind of dogs?
Labradors.
Oh.
A chocolate and a yellow.
Oh, those are big dogs.
They're big dogs. Very hairy. Yep.
So you needed some control over your paperwork. And then you also became an impromptu bookkeeper, which is not exactly a career I would jump into impromptu-ly. Flipping a house, just kind of changing all kinds of stuff. So you decide to get organized. What time of year was it? What was it that got you started? What did you do first?
I would say the first thing I did was I went all the way back to episode number one of your podcast, and I listened to every single one, every single Sunday Basket podcast episode. It was really just the mindset shift, the motivation. I started with every little shelf, every little box. I kind of, my house is pretty organized anyways. I like that. That gives me calm when things have a home. But I think the first thing I probably, where I started was just listening. It was just that mindset shift. And probably one of the biggest things that impacted me was being a woman of excellence, not perfection. Yeah. I tend to lean towards, I wanted the pretty, perfect looking organization system. And then I realized that's not working.
Yeah.
And it's more about functionality and productivity. Mm-hmm. And being excellent at it and not perfect at it. There's no such thing.
Yeah. So as I'm thinking back to when you were listening to the podcast, and I know people say, we put on the podcast and then all of a sudden we're doing things like we're productive. Like when I think back to when I lost my father and I'm building vegetable gardens in the backyard, I was listening to podcasts too. And I think it was because I wanted somebody to listen to as if we were in a conversation without having to expend the energy of actually being in a conversation.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I was up washing windows one day and the episode about the monthly checklist, the quarterly checklist. I probably listened to that one 5 times. I'm like, tell me again.
On-demand conversations. On-demand conversations. Yes. And like mentally, you're having a conversation back. Because that's what I do in podcasts. I'm like, oh my gosh, I never thought of that before. Stop, rewind, write it down. Like,
right. Yeah.
Okay, I have to listen to that one again.
Yes.
Yes, totally. Okay, so you listened to the podcast first and you changed your mindset and you just started like going through your house. It was already pretty organized, but re-going through things. When was the first time that you noticed something was organized that had not been organized before, that you hadn't done your old system of organizing? This is a new way of organizing.
The holiday boxes, the Christmas boxes. That was in the fall when my daughter started kindergarten. So about a year after the process of my dad passed away, she was 4 years old. So she had one more year left of preschool. The year she started kindergarten, I started real estate school to get my real estate license. And I brought out all the holiday boxes from the garage into the kitchen. And I just started getting rid of all the things that I never put out.
Yeah.
I would get them out every year. They'd get out of the boxes. They'd go back in the boxes. They'd go back in the garage. I'd bring them back out, put all the Christmas stuff I did love back in with it. And I thought, this is crazy why I'm moving this stuff around every year. And I don't put it out.
Yeah.
So I sorted it all in the fall when I wasn't attached to the Christmas memory.
What a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've never sorted my Christmas stuff not in December. What a great idea. And we're listening to this like in the spring. You're going to listen to this podcast in the spring. Perfect thing to do for spring break. Organize your Christmas stuff.
Exactly. You're not attached to the holiday part of it.
Yes.
Attached to what do I love here? And then I packed it all back up. I put it away. And that Christmas, everything in every box was out in my home.
I love it. I love that. So what has happened since you started on this journey of getting organized that you did not expect to happen?
I would say what I didn't expect to happen was to not have a crazy to-do list. And that's more recent. After we started the two businesses and I got my real estate license and my daughter started school, and that was a lot of paper. That was a lot of paper.
Yeah.
And a lot of responsibility and just tasks that I had to complete to keep things running. And I had to write everything down. Everything, even if I did them every week or every other day, my list was, and every week I had to write the same stuff down because I was so worried I would forget something.
Yes.
At that point, I had my own Sunday basket, totally did not work, but I was like, well, So it was basically, I took all the stacks of paper everywhere else and I just put it all in a basket.
And called it your Sunday basket?
Absolutely. Like, just put all the stuff in there. All like, the paper just has to have a home. Everything here has to have a home.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't, and I would sort through the huge pile of paper and write down every little detail of every single day so I wouldn't forget something. And now I don't have any of that anymore. I have these lovely little flash pockets that kind of hold everything I have to do. It's really easy to grab what I need to do and just work through it. And that's it.
So I know a lot of people create their own Sunday baskets, and you totally can. You don't have to buy the Organize 365 one. How long did you use your own homemade Sunday basket before you got the Organize 365 one? And what was the big difference between the two?
I used my own for 3 years.
Okay.
And
did it help?
Well, it helped contain everything.
Okay.
There wasn't the kitchen counter paper. The desk wasn't piled. Paper piles drive me crazy. So I had this basket by the desk that just held all the pile, basically. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't, and I guess I had this, like, okay, well, this section is recipes, this section's business, but it was just stacked on top of each other, not in a file situation, not vertical. And finally, January of 2020, I was like, I've done every blitz. I've watched all the Sunday basket work, free workshops, you know, all the things, free week of laundry room, all the things. And I finally thought, I need to try this out, because my pile, while contained and I felt organized with it,
mm-hmm.
I was still had this constant running to-do list, never enough time, or so planned out that any spontaneous fun thing would come up. No, I can't. I got to plan that. I don't have any time for any of that. And I'm married to somebody who's very spontaneous and takes full advantage
I guess
of
so.
Life.
Quit my job. We're flipping a house. Sounds
right.
like me. But anyways.
Yes. Yeah. He's a dive in. Dive in, take action. I'm a dip my toe in, research, think about the details. So we do blend. It takes a little effort. But he, you know, it was like, man, you have to plan every detail. I was so scared I was going to forget something. So I guess the Sunday basket categorized all of that for me. I didn't have to write down every little detail. I knew it was all there.
Oh.
And it wasn't just in an organized pile.
Hmm.
It was categorized in a way that my brain made sense of it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just pull out what was the priority that week.
Did you get value from the online communities and doing the Sunday basket with Monique and Michelle and some of that co-working time?
Yes, I actually could never do it live being on the West Coast. I mean, I'm up super early while everybody else is asleep doing all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would always watch the replay.
Yeah.
Kind of like in preparation, I would watch the replay from last week to do this week. Because I like that information. I like the teaching. I wanted to make sure I was doing it right. I like to do things right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was super helpful. Absolutely.
Okay, good. So you got rid of your to-do list, which is amazing.
I have a lot of things on your list. Yes, I
magic.
Do. It was magic. I still can't believe it. I've always been a paper planner person, and I open my planner and it's like all like just fun stuff in there now.
Okay, explain that.
It's not that there's anything to do yet nowadays. But it's the time for dreaming. It's the vision board, you know, session with my daughter. Mm-hmm. It's the tracking my workouts and my meditations and all the stuff that makes me and feel like a human. It's not just all this stuff
laundry.
I have to do.
Yeah.
Laundry. I mean, I even would write down laundry.
I know. I used to write down laundry too. Like, what do I think? I'm going to forget? Do I have laundry? Like, okay, what do I do this week? I do laundry. Yeah, right. I need underwear. I understand I need underwear.
Exactly.
But yeah, we do. We write it down like every single day.
Every single day. Because I thought, well, I need to be able to check it off.
Mm-hmm. So when do you do laundry now?
When do I do it?
Yeah.
I do it in the morning. I get my machines working for me. Thank you for that. You're in the head a lot. I just put a load in the washing machine in the morning and start my day.
Do you do a load every day or whenever you need to do it?
Yep, exactly. It's about every other day probably now. Mm-hmm. It used to just, I felt like I was always doing laundry. I just felt like I did not have enough time for all the things I had to do.
So with this new magic basket that you have,
yes,
in your 2020, other than the pandemic, kind of, what have you experienced that was unexpected on your organizing journey?
I would say some unexpected things that happened is we decided to full on homeschool when things shut down in 2020, because my mom is also going through her own cancer battle, and it was just to protect her, you know, just to kind of minimize our exposure to protect her. Homeschooling has never been on my bucket list. Never. So just being able to fit that in, that was hugely unexpected. And we got the school binder, and it's kept our things organized and our subjects organized. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
So instead of schooling from home, you just decided to all on homeschool. And I kind of counsel people to do that in March. I was like, here's a great opportunity to suck them out. Because keeping up with schooling from home is a lot of work. Not just the schoolwork, but the communication with the teachers, with the school, with the pace, homeschooling just gives you so much flexibility. You're still going to school. I mean, life is school. It just gives you a lot of flexibility instead of another thing and another person to be held accountable to.
Right. And I knew with where my mom was with her health at the time that flexibility was going to be important for us. Mm-hmm. I just knew that that was coming. So, and she is on hospice right now. So that was a big change, an unexpected change we weren't quite prepared for. But having things categorized and organized, I was able to just pick up the whole basket and take it with me to my mom and still get the things done business-wise I had to get done and be there for her as we got things set up and organized.
Yeah, I found for myself, like in growing Organized 365, and even when I had the Sunday basket back in, you know, early 2000s, the portability is huge. Like to be able to take the basket with you with a laptop. Again, you have everything. That's why our portable Sunday basket is divided perfectly. We'll hold slash pockets and a binder. So if you are a caregiver, you can have a medical binder and whatever Sunday slash pockets you need for the week. That portability, I found I was always taking a binder and some slash pockets everywhere I went. Yes. But no bag really held that kind of stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So what do you feel like you have more of now?
I definitely have more white space in my brain. Mm-hmm. I'm not constantly thinking of, don't forget to do laundry. Or don't forget whatever it is. Do payroll. Why would I forget that? But it was constantly running through my head. So I have much more white space, more time for spontaneous fun when we get to do that again. And really more time. I feel more productive. Yeah.
I would love to ask you, I know you've done planning day and you're not doing the 100-day program because your house is already organized. And it used to be you could only do planning day, like planning out your next 120 days. We do it 3 times a year if you are a 100-day member. And then when we went to the new website, I said to the team, well, if people want to do it, knowing that they can't buy the planner and they're not in the 100 days, I mean, they can still plan their next 120 days. Why did you decide to do that? What did you get out of it? And did it work for you not having a planner?
It did for me. I love all things planning. I love it. I start shopping for my planners every October 1st, the next January. I need the exact right one. When you offered it kind of a la carte, I was so excited. I mean, I was like right on it. Yes, I'm going to do that. It is helpful it's that big picture thinking, goal setting. I do like to think big picture. I sometimes get bogged down with, there's so many things I want to do. Mm-hmm. And there's so many steps to get there. and I want to put them all down and do them all now.
Right.
It doesn't work. So then I just let it all go. The Sunday basket has helped with that too, with the pink flash pockets, keeping those more personal visions and goals front of mind, but organized in a way that it's like one at a time. So planning day was huge for that, to really look at where my time is being spent, one goal at a time, by quarter. And I had my own planner that I was working through while we were doing that live. It was extremely helpful.
Yeah, planning day was just kind of added like maybe a year and a half ago. And I really feel that once you start to get your time, look, the laundry is going to get done. You're not going to be without underwear, at least not more than one day, probably in your lifetime. Like everybody might get to that day where they truly ran out of underwear, but the laundry is going to get done. The house is going to be as clean as it is. But to truly make progress on your goals and to live, you know, your best life, it takes planning. Like the Sunday basket teaches you how to plan your week, but planning day teaches you how to plan your trimester. And so for homes, we divide it into three times a year, January all the way through the end of the traditional school year. So kind of Memorial Day-ish, the summer, and then the fall. And then those three buckets of time, if you look at your time that way in your home and in your personal life, you can set and achieve goals. So you can get three times as many goals done as you would, like, say, a New Year's resolution type goal.
Right. Yes. And I like that chunk. I relate to that so much, being a mother of a school-aged child. It is September. Oh my gosh, back to school. I love it. The energy. I'm ready. I want to go back to school too. What am I going to learn this year? And then by May, I'm like, okay, I'm done packing lunches. I'm done with the learning. We need a break. Summer, same thing. It's summer. We're going to do all the things. It's going to be great. And by August, it's like, okay, now it's like, we've had our downtime. I'm ready to gear back up. And then the new year, I've always been a happy new year person in January. And I would fizzle out. I would always do this is what I'm going to do this year, and fizzle out. So breaking it into these sections, following that energy, has made a huge difference.
And changing you get so up much your more goals. Done. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And changing them up. It doesn't have to be one big major goal. It can be three still major, but you break them up into these different energies throughout the year, being a working mom.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah. What do you think you have less of?
Oh, piles of paper, of course. I have less piles of paper and business receipts everywhere. I feel like I have less anxiety about forgetting all of these big business things, taxes, quarterly reports, all of that, which I never had to do before. And there's just less chaos. There's more calm in my brain and in my home.
In the transition to homeschooling, like, did you get a curriculum that you're following? Are you doing your own homeschooling plan?
I pieced together quite a bit. I dove into a ton of research and a ton of different curriculums, and I've pieced what I know is needed for her, where she struggles a little bit and where her strengths are. And so I pieced together several and change it up every week.
Is she enjoying it? Are you enjoying it?
She misses school. She misses traditional school. She understands it's not what she's used to in traditional school right now. So we're definitely making the best of it. I love the flexibility. I mean, my husband will take her up to the mountain to ski for a day on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
For PE. And we'll catch up on math on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I do like that flexibility, especially being at my mom's so much right now. So I was hoping homeschool things would open up maybe a little bit more. We could do more field trip adventures, which we're not able to do yet. But.
Yeah. So you think maybe you'll stick with it a little bit after the world opens up again?
I'm going to say no.
Oh, no. I'm going to say no. I'm going to vote no.
That's right.
You know, when my kids, you know, I'm a teacher and I've taught public school, I've taught private school. My kids have attended special needs school, public school, private school, Catholic school, all the schools. And Joey was in second grade when it was identified that he needed the special school for language learning disabilities. And I realized then that my kids would be in separate schools at the same time. And at that time, we moved Abby from private Montessori to public school as well. So then they went into two new schools. And from that point forward, they were only together in the same school three times for the rest of their schooling. And then we ultimately ended up homeschooling Abby. And I realized that, and this is a hard concept to do. Like, it's just hard to do it. But I realized that every year I made the decision for my kids' schooling individual for what they needed for that year, not based on where it was or how much it cost or how it impacted the other one or how it impacted me. And I just figured it out. So Joey's school was 30 minutes away to start. And it was the price of a college education for him, a nice college education for him to go to elementary school. And he went there 6 years and Abby ended up at that school for four. But we did all public, private, special ed, Catholic, homeschool, all of them. My kids, Montessori, my kids were in all of those different schools at all these different times. And once I finally did it and I had two kids in two totally different learning environments, I never went back. Like I always thought about, okay, what do they need next for their education, for their learning, for my ultimate goal? And my ultimate goal was always to raise independent adults, independent, mm-hmm. self-sustaining adults. What was it going to take to have them be independent, self-sustaining adults? And same for their college. Abby is living at home and doing a community school, and she's changed her major twice. And Joey went away and he did a 2-year trade school. And that's what is in their passions. That's what works for them. I think if there's one thing COVID gave all parents permission to do is to have a choice, because most of the schools said, here's our plan and what is your choice? And parents were able to choose public education in person or from home, same curriculum, same teachers. It gave parents a lot of choice. And there are a lot of kids who are really enjoying not being in the classroom and a lot of kids who are chomping at the bit to get back to the classroom. Pluses and minuses to everything. There is no perfect education. There is no perfect education all the way through. And so I feel like everybody kind of did what I did years ago, which is they have chosen what is best for their family, for their child at this time this year. And they had to make that decision last spring, you know, in the spring of 2020. And then they made that decision again in the fall of 2020. And they made that decision again in the winter of 2021. And while the decision is being made mostly as far as how much exposure you want to have to COVID and the impact that makes on your greater family, the decisions now I know a lot of my friends are making are also based on how does their child learn best? And when the world opens up again and we go back to more of what we used to have, there will be many families where their children, their 2, their 3, their 4, their 5 kids are going to all have different education preferences and needs. And I just want to go on record as saying, good, it's fine. Yeah. They're different people. They're different kids. They have different needs. It's okay. Not all kids have to go back to what kind of schooling they had in 2019 when we get back in 2021 in the fall or 2022 to where we have all of those opportunities open to us again. You may pick different and you may pick different for each of your children, and that's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I will say I'm going to continue out this year no matter what opens up or doesn't. We're in a really good rhythm. She's really excelling in a lot of areas. We're lucky to live in a really small community. We have one school, K-8.
Oh, neat. I mean,
it's lovely. And she loves it. We love the community and the teachers, and it's a family. And so I am hopeful that she can get back to that if it's a good fit for her. But now I know I can homeschool. I mean, it's certainly an option for us. And that's great.
I think that's another thing that the pandemic taught all of us. There are a lot of things that we had compartmentalized and delegated or felt like were not in our control or something we didn't know how or didn't want to do. And we've all kind of found out that, you know, there are quite a few things that we had delegated in the past that we aren't going to go do. Like, I do get acrylic nails. I will let you know I'm still getting acrylic nails. As soon as the world opened up for like one whole week, I said, oh, that's too much of a risk. And then pink and whites. I'm like, I love my acrylic nails. I go to a super small place. There are like only 3 people there. There's never anyone there when I'm there. It's totally safe. Don't worry. I'm totally safe. But I have noticed the majority of my friends who used to get manicures don't anymore. Like they just don't. Like almost all of my friends' nails are naked, is what I would say. Like, they're not even painted from home. They're just naked, naked. And mine still are acrylic. And it used to be like all of my friends had their nails done and had acrylics. And now virtually none of them do. None of them want that much of an exposure and or want to put their money in that. Or it's just kind of over. Like, the whole acrylic nail phase kind of has gone. And I'm seeing a lot of things like that. Things that we thought were how we wanted to spend our time and our money in 2019. After you haven't been able to do it for a period of time, when you are able to do it, do you still want to do it? You get to choose again. It's not something you've just always done and you keep doing it. You get to choose again. Is that something I still want to spend my time and my money on, not just the exposure to, you know, any virus? Is it how I just want to spend my time and money?
Yeah. When we shut down here in March, all of our jobs that we do between my husband and I were considered non-essential. The dental office closed. We weren't doing any emergency construction projects. They were all kind of extra for our clients at the time. Mm-hmm. So then school shut down. So we were all three just home thinking, wow, we've really built up. Real estate was kind of a little bit bogged down there for a minute. It did open up, but it just felt like we've done all of these multifaceted things in our life. Mm-hmm. And now we're in this position of being non-essential. Of all the good we do in the world, we're now non-essential. It's a strange mindset.
Mm-hmm.
We also have rentals. So landlording was something we could do. We could fix up a couple of those houses and get them rented. That was a project for down the road. So, and it did make us realize where we want to spend our time. Mm-hmm. Like, if we can't work, if we're for this short period of time, we can't go do all the things that we are used to doing and the busy and the best and the running here and the running there. It turned out to be a really great time, actually, to think of what extra activities are we doing that we want to continue to do. What extra busyness have we been doing? Do we really want to continue to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And it shifted a lot of our visions moving forward in our company and our business and what really makes us happy and not just keeps us busy.
Yeah, the busyness of life. Mm-hmm. The flow left. You're standing in a puddle. Yes. And now you're like, I don't know.
I want out of the puddle, but maybe not all the way back in the flow.
Yeah. And of course, I'm able to grow Organize 365. So I'm actively working and growing my passion project. I know it's a corporation, but for me, it's a passion project. And then puzzles and fires and books and, you know, rehabbing the house. Like, I have not slowed down or stopped at all. And I've always been the person, though. I mean, put me in the store on the floor with a puzzle, and I'm fine. Like, I'm really, as chatty as I am, I can be a busybody anywhere. Like, I could be a busybody at home. I could do all of these things. I think it will just be, I have no idea what it's going to be like when the pandemic is truly over. I just know it'll be different and it won't all be bad.
It won't.
Yeah. What do you wish you had known sooner?
I wish I would have just known sooner how much of a difference the actual Sunday basket would make for me. Honestly, I mean, I fought my own version for 3 years. The squirrel brain just kept going, even though I thought it was all contained in this basket I created. I wish I would have known that sooner and just got the tool.
And what is your next step now for you in your organizing?
Well, I have so many things that I want to do. I have this financial binder that I've neglected. I will admit it. That's probably a big one.
Yeah.
Family-wise, photos, getting some photo organization. I'm looking into a workbox too. That's something I figured out on planning day, as well as a workbox planning day would probably be helpful as well. Because there's so many jobs that I'm doing along with family life, they really intermix quite a bit.
Yeah. Because that is a whole different kind of planning, you know?
Yes.
And even when I created both of them, I was like, oh, people are probably going to pick, but really you plan work by quarters, you plan home by trimesters, you plan home for personal and family goals, you plan work for financial and project goals. Like, it's two completely different ways of project management, goal setting, accountability. It's just completely different planning and organizing.
Yes. And I think the workbox, doing it with my husband, perhaps for our businesses to keep that flow going that way would be helpful. Mm-hmm. That's probably my next step. I just don't know which one to get. I have so many things happening here. And then I've also, I mean, for probably the last 2 years, I've thought about the paper organizing certification program.
Really?
Also,
let Monique know. Oh, Melissa, I'm telling Monique.
I've already emailed her.
I'm telling Monique I talked to you. Monique and I are always like, okay, so Melissa, blah, blah, blah. Like, we're so excited. Monique and I voxer about all of you who want to become certified organizers. I know all about it.
Yes.
She just wants more sisters in her little queue and more people out there. Yeah, you'd be out there by Holly Perez. Holly is in Oregon right now, but she is moving to the Seattle area. So she would be, you know, close to you so you guys could work together.
Yes.
She's fantastic.
Yes. I certainly think about that. It's in a pink slosh pocket. I will say.
Ooh, how exciting is that? So, Melissa, what advice would you give to someone who is just starting out?
I guess my biggest advice would be the mindset really matters. Mm-hmm. And starting there, really, if you're feeling overwhelmed and buried, it starts small steps. Small steps make a difference. And sometimes that is just listening and thinking about it. That can be your first step. Just really thinking about, it's okay to do something different. It's okay to take one small drawer at a time and believe in yourself that you can do it. And it is a learnable skill. Absolutely, it is. And then I would say, trust the process and invest in the tools.
Mm-hmm. I think it's been a while since I said this. I used to say it a lot more in the earlier podcasts than I have recently. Listening to the podcast is step one. Like, listening to the podcast is changing your mindset, is getting organized. Like, you get points. Like, if you're looking for points, or like, you don't have to have the Sunday basket or be in the 100-day program to be considered getting organized. Like, it is a mindset shift. It is a different way of thinking. It is giving yourself grace. Mm-hmm. Like, you get a lot of grace from the podcast, from like, no, there is no perfect. No, we're not going for Pinterest. Yes, what you're doing is working. If what you're doing is working and I have a different idea, do not do my idea. Like, the whole point is to get it functional, not that everybody's doing it the least way. That is not the point at all. So yes, 100%. If you are listening to the podcast, you are getting organized.
Yes. And I treated it like a class. I mean, it was how to organize. Your very beginning podcast was pretty much systematic. I know those are gone now. I was really lucky. I got to listen to those.
They are now in the 100-day program.
Yes. But I always felt like a little bit guilty because I thought, well, I should get the 100-day program because I'm so invested in this company and all of you've made such a difference in my life. I should get that. Yeah. But at the same time, I know really that's not where I'm struggling. It's not the home organization. It's, for me, it's the paper, the planning, the business, the getting all of that stuff done. So that's where I'm choosing to invest, is in the work boxes and the Sunday baskets and the paper organization. Yeah. And that's okay. I had to let go of that guilt of, well, but I'm not doing all the things, the 100%, and I should buy all the things.
Yes. No, I give you guilt-free on that. Yeah. If your home is as organized as it needs to be, there's no reason for you to do the 100-day program.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's certainly, I mean, I can see for sure the value in it. Listening, all the podcasts that are now in the 100-day program, I mean, they help tremendously just fine-tune certain things I thought perfect and pretty over-functional, some of it.
Yeah.
And not forcing all the changes and all the perfect and pretty on my husband. Like, you should see his desk right here. He likes paper piles.
You're at his desk right now.
I am.
Are you itching while you are recording this podcast? Like,
well, this is what I do to them. I put them in.
You organize them for him and then leave
they're
them
still
on
piles,
the
but they're in a
slash pocket.
Yeah.
Well, Melissa, thank you so much for coming on the Organize 365 podcast. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. This was like a pink slash pocket I can check off my list.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.